Good morning. How's winter? Are you enjoying it? I had to laugh because one of my sons doesn't like snow anymore. Moved to Florida and they got snow before we did. So I just had to laugh about that. By the way, they just showed on that little booklet that had been handed out, the star. Is there anyone that doesn't have one? Everybody in here has one. Yeah, we can get one out for you if you need one. Okay, so if you don't have one, you can pick one up out there. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are. And we invite the Holy Spirit because we know you come where you're invited. So, Lord, that you would teach us and show us your ways and show us who you are. And I thank you in Jesus' name. We're in Advent. This is the third Sunday, and the theme is joy. And in this season, it's a season of preparation. It's a season of expectation. How many of you, when you were little, you just couldn't wait for Christmas? You know, you couldn't wait to see that Christmas tree go up. You couldn't wait to see the presents under the... And then you snuck under there and see which one was yours. And then, when you did get it, you go, oh, that's not what I thought it was. You know, so we have always anticipated and expect great things. But let's go on before we get into that. Also, this is a season of purposeful and endeavoring focus, but most of all, it's a celebration. And I have not watched the news very much anymore, but I went through the channels the other day and they were showing a parade with Santa Claus. And there was a lot of people happy and, you know, yelling and screaming. That's not Christmas. What the world calls joy and what the world sees as expectation of happiness is not the real joy. It's not the real happiness. And we have to get back to what real joy is and where it is, comes from. And that's something that we have to, and we've all went through various things, as it just said on the screen. It doesn't matter whether you're up here emotionally or down here. Joy in itself never changes. The source of joy, I want you to get this, the source of joy never changes. And who is the source of joy? Jesus. See, that's the thing. We got to tap in to the source of joy. I'm going to ask you some questions. I don't want you to answer them verbally. I want you to think about it. How are you preparing in this season? What are you preparing? How are you preparing in this season? I know my background and what week it went through and how that's changed over the years. And it's changed a lot. And I mean, when we were young and we had two little boys at the time, you know, we did the Santa Claus thing when we were way back when, 50 years ago. Actually, it's been over 50 now. And I remember, this is kind of funny, the kids don't like us to tell that, but my wife was up giving our kids a bath. They were only like 4 or 5 years old. And I was downstairs, and I opened the back door, and I said, ho, ho, ho. Two little naked bodies were down that stairs faster than you can imagine. And I ate one cookie to show that Santa, oh, you just missed him. You know. You know, that's fun. It's fun to remember. But that's not real joy. Okay. The second question is, what are your expectations? The first question I ask you is, how are you preparing? The second question is, what are your expectations? There was a couple years ago, the pastor said this, and this became sort of a theme for the year. The world and this gospel, they don't mix. You can't mix. And we're coming into a time that is very serious where we have to separate and remove the mix. And this is a season that's very important for the church. It's a time for the church to exemplify the real meaning of joy, the real meaning of Christmas. And it's up to each and every one of us individually as to how we express that. We can't do that just simply, but as we do it individually, we come together corporately and the world can begin to see the difference. We've got to show the world the difference. And that's important. Would you put Luke chapter 2 on the screen, please? This is a great passage in relationship to the coming of the Lord. It says, now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And look what this says, they were greatly afraid. You ever notice in the Bible that when an angel shows up, the first thing, the reaction to people is they're afraid? They're afraid. Because there's a glory. They're not sure exactly what that is. But it's a good glory. And it's a good being fearful. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy, which will be to what? All people. I want you to keep, throughout this 15, 20 minutes, whatever, I want you to keep that in mind. He came with great joy for all people, not some people. I don't know about you, but have you ever had a thought in your head, well, something happens good to people? And you say, well, yeah, that's good for them, but that never happens to me. Anyone ever said that? See, that goes through your mind. But I want you to know from the very beginning when the angel came and spoke to the shepherds, he said these two things. He said, with great joy for all people. Put that in your spirit. That's for you. And it matters not what you're going through. You know, when she asked me to do joy, I thought, oh, I'm not exactly the best person to do that all the time. Because you know what the number one thing that the enemy tries to do? Steal your joy. I've had that happen. And you probably have been faced with that too. He wants to steal your joy. Because the joy is the fuel that functions you. We'll get into that a little bit. Okay. Now, as we go on with this. For there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you, and you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts doing what? Praising. We'll get into a little bit later, but praising is a major form of fueling the joy. How many of you, I'm getting ahead of myself again, how many of you come to church and you don't feel like praising? Come on, be honest. Every one of you have come in here at different times and you're thinking, I don't feel like it today. That's when you need to do it. When the enemy is attacking you, even though you don't feel or even know that he's attacking you, that's the time to release the praise. That's the time that joy will begin to come up and bubble up and change that whole atmosphere. Okay. Glory to God in the highest, and earth, peace, goodwill to all men. You could just preach on that little passage. The simple fact that, see, the results of is that when you honor God and give glory to Him, look what begins to happen. Peace. You begin to share. You begin to relate to people at a different level. Would you go to Matthew 2, verse 2? When they get there, this is about the Magi. Did you find it? There we go. As the Magi was traveling, where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. When they saw the star, what did they do? They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. The anticipation, the ability to say, I sense something that's going to happen, and I'm willing to pursue. Are you willing to pursue God? If you pursue, you will find. It's that simple. And they will go to worship Him. I never thought about this until the other day. Most people, when they put up a Christmas tree, what do they put on the top of the tree? A star or an angel? That's what they put on the top of a Christmas tree. And they probably don't even know why. But that's what goes on the top of most Christmas trees, is a star or an angel. And it was the star that lighted the path to Jesus. It was the angel that came and said, I'm going to give you a big announcement. And this announcement is, in Bethlehem, Christ is born. Verse 10 through 12. Is that? They saw the young child with Mary and fell down and worshiped. And when they opened their treasure, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, myrrh. Then being divine warned in a dream, they should not return to Herod, but departed from their own country another way. You know, these people weren't even Christians. The Magi were stargazers. The Magi felt something, and they saw this star, which was so different, and they said, we've got to follow that star. The move of the Holy Spirit within you sometimes, we don't always know what's really going on, but there's a sense that it's drawing you to something. God is drawing us to Himself. And we have to continue to to see that and pursue that. See, that's part of the preparation, the expectation, and the purpose of our life, that we may celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you're on a journey, because that's really what these people were, they were on a journey of hope. But the end was joy. You are on a journey of hope. Every one of us is on a journey of hope. But let me tell you, if you stay on that journey, you will find the real joy. And there can be joy even today. But as it continues to follow and your journey continues, the joy only gets bigger and greater, not less. You see, when we begin to do that, we walk with hope, we walk with love, we walk with peace, and we walk with joy. And many of them is what Galatians chapter 5 says, which is the fruit of the Spirit. See, as we pursue all these gifts, or the gift of the fruit of the Spirit begins to build in you and grow in you. And it gets greater and greater. So as these things begin to build and become more a part of you, the only thing that will end up is greater joy. That's what will happen. See, we're connected, and we should be connected to the morning star, who is the light of the world. And he said, in turn, when you are connected to the light of the world, we become what? Salt and light. So when we're connected, then he imparts in us salt and light, the fruit of the Spirit, and those kind of things, so that we can be a representation of him upon the face of the earth to do the will of God. That's God's purpose for you and me. Whether you want to call that evangelism, I don't care what you want to call it. It's the fact that you are a person that's representing the only true God. There's a lot of people out there representing a God, but not a true God. See, you and I were saved to give glory to God and to be joyful. If we just think of the very simple thing, when you were saved, he took you out of the old kingdom of darkness and transported you into the new kingdom of light. That in itself is enough to have great joy. From the old to the new. Now, I don't want you to go back and spend a lot of time with that, but just very quickly, if you look back before you were saved, and let that flash before you and how God has changed you, you can see a tremendous difference. That's the God we serve. The God of love. The God of purpose. That we won't take the time to turn to it, but that's in Colossians chapter 1, 13 and 14. Can anybody quote me Philippians 4, 4? It's a very familiar passage. Nobody? Rejoice always. How many have read that verse and said, oh yeah, that's right. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always rejoice. I failed that. But you know it's a command? God commands us to have joy. He just didn't say, oh, put that in the suggestion box. He commands us to have joy. Why? Because look what he went through. in order to bring you back and reconcile you unto God. There's nowhere in Scripture that he says, be ye miserable. Is there? I've never read a passage that says, be ye miserable. But I run into people all the time that are miserable. Is that true? So we are commanded to have joy. If you have the Lord in you, the joy is there. The source of it is there. You just have to pull it up. Is it always easy? Absolutely not. I'm not going to tell you that it's easy. Okay, well. Anybody want to know what Nehemiah 8:10 says? I want you to be able to think here. The Lord is my strength. The joy, not just the Lord, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. You want strength to get through what you're in right now? Allow that joy to come up. God doesn't put that in there just to have you say, oh, that's nice. There's a purpose for it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Rejoice and shout for joy. Those are the kind of things that are in the Scripture. He constantly is reminding us to exemplify joy. As I said earlier, joy is the fuel that pretty much brightens your journey. Without hope and without joy, without peace, going through whatever you're going through is just going to be horrible. But whatever you're going through, if you connect with hope and joy and peace, it'll pull you through it. And when he pulls you through it and you come out on the other side, there will be great joy and the relationship between you and God gets better. Do we always understand what we go through? Absolutely not. Why did I go through this? Why did this happen to me? Why couldn't it? I don't know. But God knows. And as God knows, we have to believe and trust his heart so that we can walk with him through whatever the circumstance is, and you'll get through it. I've shared this several times in Wednesday night and stuff, but my sister died a couple months ago, and she went through 3 years of, I'll just call it cancer, because it was all through her body and bones and everything else. And she, as soon as she got it, she said, I'm ready to go. Now, I had trouble with that, but she went through it, and she would call people and encourage people every day. She did not falter, but she went through it with joy. And she had other physical problems other than that. And when she died and in the casket, everything was straight and there was a huge smile on her face. She understood joy. If nothing else, she understood who her God was. And that became a testimony to people. But we don't have to die to do that. We're supposed to be doing that every day. You know, a lot of people misunderstand happiness for joy. You know, you can be happy. There's nothing wrong with being happy. But happy most of the time is temporary. Or even what we'll call fleshly joy. And I don't know how many times we've heard this in church about just go to a football game. Watch how people get up and cheer and yell and scream. But let their team fumble the ball. And it goes down just like that. That's not real joy. And that's what happens in our lives sometimes, is everything's going along, we're doing, and then all of a sudden something bad happens and we're down. That's not what God wants. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you great joy." Apply that to your circumstance. Apply that to what's going on in your life. Do not be afraid. Fear will separate you from people and from God. We're going to look real quick at three aspects of joy. I don't think this is in the thing, so I'll just read. Psalm 126:5. Let's see if I can read my writing. "Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy." It's okay to cry. We are going to endure, and every one of us know this, we're going to endure pain. But joy and pain coexist. They're not separate. You mothers that have birthed children, that's a great example. Oh! Get this thing out of here. And turns to her husband, "I hate you." I'm in so much pain. But as soon as the baby comes, is that switch? Great joy. But they anticipated, but at the same time they went through pain. The same thing with anything in life. A lot of times the pain we go through will actually increase the joy at the end. And they do coexist. And we have to learn how in the midst of the pain to still grab hold of joy. Is it easy? Absolutely not. But if everything was easy, you know, when back in my long time ago, when I was in athletics, you know, the coach says, "Go out and run 5 miles. Why? To get in shape. Well, the first time you run 5 miles, if you're not in shape, it's painful. And you may end up walking. You go through all that pain so that you can be ready to do whatever you're asked to do. God does the same thing. He doesn't give you the pain, but He gives you the ability to go through it. Okay. So in the midst of our struggles, we've got to look beyond our circumstance. Take these glasses off. We're nearsighted. We are. We're nearsighted. We look at the problem. And I saw something the other day that really hit. Worry is worshiping your problem. Worrying is worshiping your problem. Never thought of it that way. That's pretty strong. Worry and fear are worshiping your problem. But looking to the Lord and allowing that hope, allowing that joy, allowing that love and the peace of God to permeate you will get you through whatever you're dealing with. And I can guarantee you, you'll come out the better. Because that's what God says, not what I say. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, another familiar passage. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who what? For joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Keep going. Despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Go back to the first part of that. Who for the joy that was set before him, which was the cross. He knew it was coming. Now, we don't always know what's coming. But God knew what was coming, and he did it with great joy. He did it for you and me. He knew what he was going to go through. I mean, that's awesome. It is awesome to think that God so loved us. In fact, the first thing I thought of was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And you see, that's the gift. The greatest gift that man has ever received. And that's what we should be celebrating. The greatest gift ever given to man was his Son, Jesus. That's what the Christmas thing is to be about. You know, we could argue, you know, Jesus probably wasn't born in December, but that's not the point. The point is he was born. The point is that he died knowing when he came he was going to die. But he also knew he was going to be raised from the dead. You see, we have to in some ways re-examine our minds and alter sometimes our thinking on this season that we're in. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe this is just me and my wife. I don't know. But I can remember years ago when 1st of December would come, there would be a real excitement during December. I don't sense that excitement anymore. And I'm not sure it's because we're maturing or what's going on. But the anticipation of knowing and celebrating who God is. He came as a baby, but he's coming back as a mighty warrior. You cannot separate, to me, you can't separate what we call Christmas and Easter. Because he came and then he died. But then he rose again. All one big package. And we need to celebrate the fact that God so loved the world that he gave. He gave for you and me. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Here we go again. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I failed that one. Knowing that the testing of your faith, now here's where it goes. See, it's testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lack nothing. But it starts by counting it all joy. See how important joy is? whatever your trial is, whatever your testing is, you got to start there. Thanking the Lord for who He is. We many times think, you know, if I just had more money, or if I just had a better job, or if my spouse and I got along better, or I had a bigger house, or people would think of me better than what they do. Guess what? None of that really matters. None of it really matters. I don't care if you have $1 billion. When you die, you don't take that $1 billion. You know, I told that joke before about the man that was real rich, and he told his wife, "I want all my money in the casket with me." And he made his wife promise to put all the money in his casket. So she said, "Okay." And he died and buried him. And friend said, "Did you put all the money in the casket?" "Well, no, I wrote him a check." See, he's not going to sign that check. You see, there can be joy in the desert. There really can. You see, joy is a word of action. Rejoice is an action of choice. Okay? Joy is an action of choice. We must choose to celebrate. And when the Lord was on the cross, He said, "It's finished. It's finished." And I don't think we have understood to a greater degree the implications of the awesomeness of when He said, "It is finished." Because we still allow shame, guilt, condemnation, and all these things that come on us when He said, "I've already taken care of your past when you repent." Okay. Let me quickly, Zephaniah, it's not on the outline. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exalt over you with what? Joy and singing. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy." God is rejoicing over you. You need to rejoice in return. You know, Isaiah, I thought of Isaiah 6. Isaiah and the king, and he saw this, and he said, "I saw the throne of God, and on one side was angels, and then on the other side was angels, and they were saying, 'Glory to God, glory to God.' And they would say, 'Glory to God,' and just became a chorus of back and forth." See, that's what it ought to be with you and God. See, joy connects. You ever been around somebody that just gets really tickled and start laughing? What do you end up doing?
Laughing.
The same way with joy. When you're around somebody who's really joyful, it permeates. It connects. See, joy connects. Fear separates. Understand? The fear and those kind of things, and pain will separate, but joy will connect. Oops, I better quit. The third one is joy to worship. Let's just turn to 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. See, all of creation rejoices in God. He even says, if you don't praise me, the rocks cry out. See, all of creation. Okay. So let me summarize real quick. Step into the journey and follow the star. Connect with others, and through joy, you will be a spark for someone else. When you exemplify joy, you become a spark for somebody else. And worship God for who he is. I would like to read Isaac Watts, who was a songwriter, in 1719, wrote a very famous song. He didn't put the music to it. I think the music come probably part of it from the Messiah that was written. And he, when he was 15 years old, he didn't like the worship that was going on in the church. And he said, he was only 15, he said something to the deacon. And the deacon said, okay, then you write something. So he started writing hymns. And eventually he wrote Joy to the World. We've all sang that, right? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Now, there's actually four verses to it. But so I think that sums it up. Joy to the world. The Lord has come.